You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where we discuss herbalism, fitness, and healthy habits for life. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. So today, let's start off by bringing ourselves back into our bodies. So this is something that was inspired by a listener of ours asking some questions about herbs that they can incorporate to bring themselves back into their body when they're just feeling senses of maybe disassociation. But before we get into the herbs that you can incorporate, because I am not a therapist, I'm an herbalist, I decided to bring on a special guest today to talk a little bit more about that. So I've got Erica Cooney on today. Welcome, Erica.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here and excited for this conversation.
Yeah, thank you. So can you give our listeners a little bit of an intro of who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. So my name is Erica Cooney. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist by trade. I am known as the burnout professor, and there's a story behind that. I'm going to give you a little story, but I'll end with my credentials so you know that I'm more than just a therapist. In 2014, I was driving to work, and on my way into work, it was a sunny day and a Mack dump truck merged into my lane. It was a 45-minute commute, right? And I had nowhere to go, and he never saw me. And so I am lucky to be alive. Actually, I am blessed to be alive, and I'm blessed to have all of my limbs intact, because at one point they didn't know if they were going to be able to save my foot, right? So I was laid up on the couch for 3 months. I was in the hospital for a week recuperating. And this really was the Mack dump truck moment, was wake up. It literally said, wake up. And what it awoke in me too was the fact that I was more than just burnt out. I was suffering from compassion fatigue, vicarious trauma, and moral injury as well. And, you know, over the next 12 to 14 months, my whole life fell apart. It felt like I had a black cloud over my head. If anything could go wrong, it literally did go wrong. You know, fired from my job. I was had moved back home with my parents because I was in so much debt, and a relationship had ended, a long-term relationship. So it was like everything just started crumbling down on me. And so through my journey of recovering, I realized there were things that I was doing consistently. And then I started to understand more of the science, the neuroscience behind stress and burnout in the brain. And everything that I teach today is research-backed. It's trauma informed, and it's just practical tools that you can use every single day to reduce overwhelm and consciously thrive. And so some of the certifications I achieved, you know, in addition to my license in psychotherapy, right? Because when that black cloud was over my head, I kept thinking to myself, what the heck am I missing? I'm the therapist. I teach other people on how to heal and everything. So like, what am I missing here? And you know what it is? It's exactly what we're talking about today. And it's the whole way of getting back into your body. That was the piece that I was missing. And so I'm a certified mental health integrative medicine provider. I'm a Reiki master teacher as well. And I am also I took a 32-week course for traumatic stress studies with Dr. Bessel van der Kolk in his research institute. So there's a lot of more information that I have besides just being a marriage and family therapist.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. It seems like, you know, being also in September and that being Pain Awareness Month, and seeing that kind of emotional trauma, physical trauma, things that happen within our bodies, and then not being able to even just get back to that emotional state of feeling confident within ourselves, or really feeling like we're inside of our bodies, like we mentioned. And so, you know, it sounds like a lot of the work you do kind of accompanied this skill of awareness within. And so can you give us and our listeners a little bit of detail? I've looked over your Instagram and I love your feed. You have so much fantastic information. Just what is introspection, and like, how can listeners achieve this practice of, it seems like the first step of being a little more aware of ourselves?
It is, right? But I actually think, you know, so I was also a professor of human development. I taught, you know, through a trauma-informed lens and an attachment theory perspective. And so when I was teaching, I used to say, you know, the first step really is your breath. Before you can get anywhere else, you have to know, where is your breath? I'm not talking about doing breath work, like sitting still and doing the heavy duty Wim Hof breath work exercises, right? Even though that's scientifically proven to be really productive. But in the very, very beginning, first, do you know where your breath is falling? like that's one step of being self-aware, because when I hear people talk about self-awareness, a lot of the times it's accompanied by, well, did you journal? Right? And did you talk to somebody? Did you go? And it's like, there's so much more to this, like you were alluding to, and you don't have to talk everything out. That I think that's one of the biggest myths we have in our society, is we have to talk it out to heal. No, that's actually not really good, because sometimes we re-traumatize ourselves the more we keep talking about our stressors. So what we're looking to achieve is perception. And there's five different perceptions, right? There's the first perception, which is all cognitive. And when we get stressed out or we're under like stressful conditions for a chronic period of time, you can no longer trust what you think, because that rational part of your brain goes offline. It just goes bye-bye.
Right.
Right. So don't always believe what you think. The second one is neuroception. And neuroception is the subconscious neural process, which detects whether or not you're safe, if you're in a safe place, if there's a life-threatening, or if there's major danger, right? And so that's really your intuition right there, is the neuroception. Then there's exteroception, And that is more of, do you have the sense of what's going on outside of your body, using your senses outside of your body? And then there's proprioception, which is more of the sense of your body in movement, in equilibrium, right? And then last but not least, the fifth one, which you had just asked me about, is interoception. And interoception is your inner real estate. What's going on inside of you? Do you, what's your heart rate doing, right? And are you feeling comfortable? Does this feel good? Does this feel bad, right? Like, are you pushing a limit, or are you kind of like okay in this moment? And interoception, in my opinion, is very important, because this is where the burnout happens. If you're not aware of what's going on, you keep go, and you're like, no, I got this, I can go, and then before you know it, you get hit by a Mack dump truck.
Right.
So it's very important to be self-aware. It's very important to be in tune with your body, because my major mantra or theme whenever I do work with anybody or I'm teaching is, your body is your compass. It's your head, your brain might be the command center, but your body is your compass.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something that we talk about on the show all the time. And really how we've gone from a society of so long of not talking about anything to almost overcorrecting, talking about things, but not in the right way, like you mentioned. And all along the way, never really truly trusting ourselves and our intuition and what our body's telling us, when we do need to slow down and look at what we need versus what society needs. And I think that that was one thing, you know, looking over some of the things that you talked about and wrote about, especially just in Instagram, reminding us that those things are important. And I love the fact that your title is the Burnout Professor, because it talks to so many aspects of society, like in a myriad of things that we go through when it comes to burnout, that I think everybody, especially now after what on a global scale we've all gone through, you know, everybody's really feeling that. And one of the things I really wanted to talk about when we talk about kind of coming back into our bodies and ways to do that, I have a little experience in ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and also what the limbic system really does and how that works within the body. But what we usually talk about on the show is physical injury, because we're focused more on fitness and natural wellness. And so we never really get into those pieces. And that's why I'm so excited to have you on to talk to our listeners about this, because, you know, there's got to be this long-term approach where we're looking at those aspects of adverse childhood experiences that might have come, other things that might have happened, and really how our limbic system reacts to those and how we can be aware of, like you said, when those reactions happen. So can you give us a little insight as to maybe one or two of the pieces that you talked about, how that ties in maybe to our reactionary, like what things should we really be looking for?
In regards to when you experience trauma as a child?
Right.
Okay. So if you know already that ACEs is the adverse childhood experiences, right? And you knew that it was this humongous study. It's probably, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's still the largest study that we have. And it had over 18,000 participants, right? And the information we got from that is humongous. And it's was, I believe it was really published. It started in the 80s, but by the time it was published, it was 1997, right? And it's still relevant today. It's our driving force. When it comes to work with trauma. And trauma-informed work is very different than regular traditional talk therapy or regular traditional approaches that we've had, right? Because what trauma-informed approaches, we are really understanding that we have to look into our nervous system and understand how the nervous system affects our brain and the brain chemistry and the brain health of what's going on, right? And that is why, you know, if you are following me on Instagram, for example, I say, move over, Freud. It's a new era, right? We have to go about it from our nervous system first before we can start talking about things. Because when we have these events that happen, it puts our bodies into a fight or flight response, right? And this fight or flight response is pumping all these chemicals into our bodies, right? And if we don't have the ability to move, if we don't have the ability to self-regulate, then those chemicals are staying in our bodies. And that's what's making us sick, whether it's a mental illness is starting to come to fruition or manifest, or the physical illnesses, right, that is coming into manifestation. So when I hear about ACEs, I don't want people to think necessarily the score, okay? Because if you don't have a therapist and you go and take this free quiz that's online, right, you are going to be like, holy crap, I scored a 7 and I, you know, a 7 out of 10, like, holy cow, I'm damaged. There's no way I can come back from this, right? FYI, folks, I have a score of 8 and here I am. So I'm here to also show you that we may have childhood experiences that really did affect our nervous system, but there are ways for us to overcome the nervous system dysregulation, right? And so that's part of what my approaches is, let's stop the labels. Let's stop the labeling for right now, right? And look at it as trauma and where our nervous system is. And if we can understand that, then you can navigate through anything that is thrown at you. Sometimes we do need therapy. Sometimes we do need to have somebody there with us to guide us as we're navigating through our bodies, right? Like, there is nothing wrong with that. Everybody needs that, right? And so to put that back into the ACEs again, what ACEs showed us is that when we are experiencing these adverse childhood experiences, our blood pressures go up, right? And we are not able to function the way that other quote unquote normal, because there's no such thing as normal, right, people function. And so some of those here, I have the list here because I wanted to make sure that I got this accurate, right? So if one ACE is present, 80% likelihood you will find another ACE. Trauma begets trauma, right? So, and believe it or not, there's 65% of us that have at least one ACE. It is very, it's abnormal if you don't have an ACE. Let's put it that way, okay? And so this is what the results taught us. There's 50% more chance for drug abuse. There's a 54% more chance for current depression. 65% more chance for alcoholism, 67% chance for increased suicide attempts, and 78% increase for IV drug use. And increase for cardiac disease, increase for autoimmune disease, lung disease, right? And so ultimately, you hear all those big scary numbers, right? And I remember the first time I learned about this, I was like, oh my gosh, really? This is what we're dealing with? And as a therapist, right, I felt helpless hearing about all of that.
Right.
But when I sat with this and I understood it from a different perspective, in the sense of, that's just data. It's just telling us that our nervous systems are hijacked and we have to find ways to calm our nervous system, because when our bodies are in that calm state, our bodies are powerful. They can naturally heal, and we can do things to help that healing process move even faster. This is not the end all to be all. This is just our starting point for data. And then we know that, okay, the nervous system's hijacked. What do we need to do to calm it?
Yeah, I absolutely wholeheartedly agree in that. And I feel like the things that you speak to are really a practice of resilience, right? Building that resiliency within ourselves, moving past those points of trauma or pain, because it's something where, especially in society right now, everything is defined, like productivity is defined. And this is something you spoke to as well online, you know, like if you're in the gym, it's how much can you lift? Or if you're on a weight loss journey, how much have you lost? And productivity is this real tangible thing we want to see. We want to measure it. And that sometimes goes against really what our bodies need and what they're telling us, and to really redefine that viewpoint of productivity, to look at these things, to understand these things, because like you said, ACEs and the practice of that and these studies have been around for quite some time, yet I know there's a lot of people who aren't aware of them, you know, and I think it's just fantastic. I'm so glad that you came on to talk about some of these things with me. And really, you know, when we talk about productivity in specific, what really is productivity? I know you spoke to this before online, but I'd love to have the explanation for our listeners.
Absolutely. So, you know, productivity is, the old way of thinking is, it's hard work 24/7. Hustle, 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 grind, 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 right? There's no rest for the wicked, right? You got to just keep going and don't pay attention to anything else. Hyper-focus. And, you know, if anything, what I've realized, even through my own journey, not to mention what I know now by textbook information, right? Alignment is the new hustle. Mm. And I am more productive than I've ever been. And I've been pretty productive in my life. You know, even after that Mack dump truck accident, I went on to become a clinical program director. Then I was a professor, right? So I still kept going, 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 even though I was battling all of this. And alignment is the new hustle, in the sense of, what do you need to do to get your body to be operating at its optimum? Mm. It's not hard work 24/7, because believe it or not, when we create safe spaces for ourselves and allow our body to actually physically, physiologically relax, reset, recharge, you come back stronger than before. You come back more productive than before. So to me, productivity has to include all of those things that help you get that body into a calm state. So that's adequate sleep, non-sleep deep rest activities like yoga nidra, exercising, getting that blood flowing, right? Doing your cardio work, and then eating healthy, doing an anti-inflammatory diet, getting rid of all those, you know, the known bad things for us as like the processed food and the sugars. Self-regulation, understanding how to emotionally self-regulate. Self-care, in my opinion, is not going to the spa. That's self-indulgence. Mm. Self-care is really more, how do you create a safe space for your body? So that could be, do you have a safe space? Your car can be your safe space, believe it or not. It doesn't have to be a room with a meditation mat and a yoga mat, and right? And what activities do you do that bring you joy to your heart? Mm. Because there's also a new research that is almost peer-reviewed. I'm so excited about this, because it shows that if you are able to stay in an elevated joy state for 10 minutes, it lowers your IgA levels. Mm. I'm so excited about this research. And then also, it's important to have a growth mindset. So learning how to cultivate a growth mindset in your world is just as important as this hard work that you have to do. Because ultimately, I think hard work is just a small percentage. Everything else that I just mentioned is the groundwork, it's the foundation, and that's what gets you to be productive. Because if you are stressed, I want everyone to think about this for a moment. Do you think clearly when you're stressed out? No, that's when I make the stupidest mistakes ever, mm-hmm. right? And so the more you're able to get calm and be able to get into a stress state and then come back down, that's when you're productive, when you're able to move through your nervous system and not stay stuck in a stress state.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that it's so important just to even reiterate and listen to this again, because you had so many good points. Every single thing that you mentioned is just a takeaway for someone to say, you know, where am I at? Looking at our bodies internally, externally, how are we responding to the things around us? What does that really mean for us? And taking the past and the present and kind of looking at all of that. And sometimes it can seem a little overwhelming, but at the end of the day, like you said, you know, it's just as easy as finding this calm, safe space within your car, whatever that might be, you know, taking it those small steps, those small pieces. So are there any resources that you would recommend for our listeners?
You know, there's so many resources. In fact, I think we have too many resources at times, right? Because we're inundated with everything. And the ones that come off the top of my head right now that I would recommend is The Body Keeps the Score by Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. Mm. You know, he wrote that book in 2004. I think that's when it was published. And, you know, and over the pandemic, it became a number one New York Best Times seller again. So he's definitely somebody to pay attention. He's actually the leading researcher in trauma work. So he's got a lot to say. He's got a lot of knowledge. And then there's other things. I know there's a book out, and I don't have the author, so we may have to just put it in the show notes.
Right.
But I know the name of the book is Breath, and that was based another research-based book about all the different types of breath and everything that can help you regulate your nervous system. And so I recommend that because I started this podcast with saying your breath is the number one thing that you need to know how to do. But those are the two types, the two books right off the top of my head that I would recommend.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I've definitely heard of those, and I think it's absolutely worth the read and to look into those. And for those that want just small little snippets of information because they do feel inundated, how can they get a hold of you on your Instagram, reach out?
Absolutely. So you can find me on my handle on any social media that I have is Erica Cooney, ERICACUNI. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Clubhouse, even. I have the biggest Clubhouse club called the Burnout Club on Clubhouse. So any of you folks out there that are on there, come join us, come join the rooms that we have going on there.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on so much. Like I said, this is not necessarily something that I've been professionally trained in, so it was great to have you on to reiterate some of the things that we always talk about and to share new insight. Since we recorded this podcast, Erica has changed her handle on Instagram, and I wanted to give that to you guys so you can reach out to her. If you can't find it, you can always look in the show notes as well. So it is at the Burnout Professor on Instagram, and I know that she would love to connect with you all if you have any questions about somatic therapy or some of the other things that she offers. So some highlights from the show, just to wrap it up. We talked about how burnout happens, being more self-aware, what that really looks like within our bodies, our behavior, our emotional responses, the alignment that we need within ourselves and our health, and how that is really the key to productivity. So all of that being said, I would love to dive into different herbs that you can use. We've mentioned on the podcast, now that we're in season two, a plethora of herbs from chamomile to tulsi to incorporate. But what I'm going to do, because as you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, every body is different. And depending on your energetics, the herbs that you would want to use are different. Even when we're talking about things like bringing ourselves back into our bodies, there are a few herbs that can help with those types of things. And just that emotional support that you might need as you're making those changes within life. So if you are still wondering what herbs to use, I am going to allow anybody who is listening to the podcast to reach out to me directly on Instagram. Just DM me at botanically underscore curious on Instagram, and you will receive a free 30-minute consult after listening to the podcast. Just mention that you listened to the podcast episode and that you have a few more questions about what herbs might work well for your body, and we'll go through some questionnaires and some other things to find the herbs that are right for you. All right, guys, really enjoyed this episode, and I'm excited to see you guys next week when we will be officially in Maine. So we'll see you next time.